Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between intuition, imagination, and manifestation. And if you're interested in any of those topics, you're definitely in the right place. We know that when we start to listen to our deep inner knowing, our deep intuitive voice, our intuition, and our unconscious, our lives quicken, and the things that we want to come to pass, the desires that we have, start to manifest much more quickly and much more fully and much more clearly. So if you've been noticing energetically that quickening in you, that speeding up in you, and that delight in you, you're definitely in the right place. I want to encourage you to share your pretty shiny picture with Inner Voice Intuitive so you can follow everything on the With Insights channel. There are several other broadcasts on the channel as well that are just wonderful. We have a wonderful group of hosts. So I encourage you to check out With Insights again and to enjoy Inner Voice tonight. I also encourage you to check out the Intuitive Light community. I've started working with a group of wonderful people, and we've started a radio show called the Intuitive Light Community Radio Show, and we broadcast on Sundays at 2:00 in the afternoon. We just wrapped up a month about miracles and how miracles come to us. I just did a show on spontaneous healing for them a couple weeks ago that's been listened to very broadly, and I was very, very excited to see the numbers come in, and so excited that that show touched so many people. I am going to introduce what's coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. We have a plethora of really exciting guests for you this summer. Starting June 11th, we have Eric Dunn, who has just completed a beautiful tarot deck called the Illuminati Tarot Deck. He sent me one in the mail, and it's lovely. It's got gold gilded sides, and it's very archetypal. All of the illustrations have been done by him. It's just a beautiful deck. I can't wait to talk to Eric all about how the deck's been received by the public and what it was like to create a tarot deck and how his vision came to him and how he was able to manifest this beautiful, beautiful deck, which he gifted to me, which was just lovely. The week after, June 18th, I will have Rick DiClemente on. He is an author of The Exquisite Astrologer. He takes an archetypal approach to astrology, so he's going to share with you all about the archetypes, all the stories, all the relevant symbols that show up in your life, and how there are different kinds of symbols, different kinds of energies that show up in your astrological chart as well. So I'm really excited to have him on air. And then on June 25th, William O'Meara will be talking about prosperity and the counseling that he does. For folks who don't know him, check him out on Facebook. And then on July 9th, I will have Belle Salisbury on, who has a wonderful show on Radio that I've been lucky enough to be on. And also, she has a wonderful online magazine called Bell Spirit. So I encourage you to check out all of those really, really great pet practitioners, find out what they have to offer, find out how they're connecting with new thought. So we have a really exciting summer coming up. With no further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Belle Arnold. I'm going to get her on now. Hi, Belle. Hi, Beau. Are you there?
I'm here, Jenny. Thanks very much. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show again. I'm just honored and really appreciative and grateful for the opportunity to spend some time with you again.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. I want to introduce all the amazing work you do. You write a column for Viva Glam magazine.
Yes.
What is it called? Is it called New Thinking or New Thought? What is that called? Great Mind?
It's Great Mind. Katrina Vanderhem is the editor-in-chief and the creator of the magazine, and she was kind enough to name the column Great Mind. So it's at vivaglammagazine.com. Under the Culture tab, C-U-L-T-U-R, you'll find Great Mind there and a list of all the different articles that I've written since September, a weekly column since September for them. They're just fantastic magazine. So thanks for thinking of that.
Oh, absolutely. And you also do workshops in the Columbus area, and then you're writing a book as well called Only Love is Real. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's fine. The workshops are based on the book, and the workshops run about 6 times a year. And somebody recently called the workshops Roto-Rooter for Your Soul, which is
awesome.
Nice. It is somebody who, I said, but, you know, you keep coming back, don't you, which is just lovely. The book, based on that, it's about the way we're taught to think that then creates a life for us that makes us make choices that eventually make us physically ill because the way we think is out of alignment with who we truly are and the natural balance of everything in the universe, which is based in love. And we're separated from that in our thinking based on our training. And that's all it is training. So this is how we can then recognize this and get back into alignment with homeostasis in the body and matching our true frequency, which is always healing. And that's the basis of the book.
Awesome, awesome. And so for folks who are new to this topic, some of those terms are pretty big and bold. Can you just break it down for someone who's a novice and is going, wow, how do I do that? Alignment sounds great, but what is that exactly? And how did I get off track? And how are my, you know, the ways I've been taught to think contributing to that? Just if you can break it down, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, you're born a little ball of light, and your first, you know, exciting moments are when you get to see things a little more clearly and you find your toes and all these things. And the people around you are talking about you. And even though we think we can't understand at that age, we actually do understand because those words, the things that people say about children and to children when they're little, actually do stick, and at some point those are all stuck in the subconscious memory, and then when you learn a language, those messages become very clear, and a lot of those messages are make us feel as though there's something missing in us, you know, the saying, you know, not the sharpest tool in the shed, or, you know, they're shy, or, you know, they're little, not really as smart as the rest, or, you know, you're bad, you know, how we attach these kinds of things to children. And we grow up thinking there's something wrong with us, that there's something missing in us. And as I say, the general mantra that runs below the surface, under the radar for almost all of us, if not all of us, is I'm afraid I'm not good enough. But that's just through this training that we get. And from that, we have to try to find a way to overcome that. And so sometimes we have what we call, end up having an ego. And this ego sometimes... it will do anything. It will try to get as many degrees as it can as far as school. And then it says, I'm very intelligent, and maybe people will love me for that reason. Or I have a lot of friends, or I dress really nice, or I'm a bully, and people like me because they're afraid of me. Or whatever it is that we do to try to overcome this hole that we think we have. And it never gets filled because we're always looking outside of ourselves. And that's where we get out of alignment. This training pulls us out of alignment because nothing can be found outside of us. Everything that we need is within us. And it sounds really trite and really cliche to say that, but that's really the truth. The exterior is just for fun. It's the interior that's the reality. And that's where we say get back into alignment with it is to begin to remember, to sort of meditate, close your eyes, cut out the exterior stimulation of all the things that we see all the time, and just get really quiet, and you'll find that there's someone else in there besides who you think you are, And that's your true self. That's your alignment with your sort of your true nature. And that's what we mean by that. So all the things that we're doing when we're out of alignment, we're beating ourselves up, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. We're taking only a week a year off on vacation. We're burned out. We're stressed out. We're caffeined up. We're sugared up. And these are the things that make us physically unwell.
I love the way that you describe the ego and all of the things we do to stay in this place of the ego, like getting 1,000 degrees and bullying people and this sort of thing. And I think that it's really an astute way to describe it. You know, we think of people who have 100 degrees or whatever as being very adult. But I think maybe what you're saying is that sometimes when we're in that ego-based place, we're trying to get the needs of this inner child met, this person who's much more small and much more, needy than the ego appears on the surface.
There's no doubt, because, you know, when we use the term egotistical sort of in general everyday terminology, we think of someone that's too big in their head, you know, they really love themselves. But in fact, being based in the ego or being egotistical is the exact opposite. It's somebody who doesn't love themselves. But we all have that in one way or another. It's just that that's really obvious to us. The other things that we're doing throughout the day, trying to be somebody, trying to be liked by our friends. You know, a lot of times, a long time ago, I've got the greatest little group of friends. They would never judge me, but I always thought that they did. I never thought, well, I would wear something and go out to dinner, and I was constantly looking at them sort of saying, do I match? Do I fit in? And these are the kinds of little stresses. These kinds of things run throughout all of us throughout the day doing different things. I'm at work, and am I matching up? Am I meeting other people's expectations? Am I exceeding? Am I excelling? And we're just really working so hard. And so these are sort of the underlying ways that the ego shows up in all of us. And all it is, the ego really is just a false story. It's like our false identity. And we're always trying to overcome who we think we are, but that false identity is not real. And so you can't overcome something that doesn't exist. And that's mm-hmm. why we end up unwell, because we're fighting a losing battle, but we don't know that it's that. We're not aware yet, or at least many people are not. And so this is why I've written a book, why I do the workshops, why I write the articles. It's just to say, you know, I did all that. I lived that. I thought that's the way it was. Because what else do you know? You're taught that. You don't know anything else. But someday, something says to us, some event says to us, there's got to be a better way. You're either exhausted, or you've been broken up with and your heart is aching, or you've had some huge loss of some, or you've got a culmination of losses, and you finally just look and you think, there just has to be a better way. And the good news is, there is. And it's so easy compared to the life of the ego.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, you're like talking a little bit about the idea of observation, and like if we can observe like the ego's antics, the ego's need to do all these big, bold things and stay in that place of the observer, then we're getting a little closer to that authentic self, that, you know, that developing that awareness that's helping us go, why am I striving so hard for all this when there's all this beauty and all this possibility and all this, energy, positive energy?
Jen, if you can hear me, I think I just lost you.
Hello, Bo.
Hello, got your back. That's great.
Yay, yeah, Blog Talk is being dicey. Just hung
that's
up,
okay.
So.
That's all right. Sorry about that. But I
no
liked
worries.
Where you were going with all that. Very astute on your part. I really appreciate where you were going. That's true. If we can actually, it's hard for people to see all of these things and become the observer because they're involved in it. They think this is what they're supposed to be doing. And so to see, I always ask people, is it possible that the way you're thinking about something right now, is it possible that there is a different way? And of course, the answer is yes, because there's always another way. Whether you're interested in seeing it a different way or not isn't really the point. The point is that, yes, you can see something another way. And when you're willing to see things differently than you see them now, and you can just start with little things. You don't have to go big and do it all at once. You can just start little by little. But if you're willing to do that, then you can become the observer. And you can watch the ego, and you can see it almost like a software program that has a lot of glitches in it. And you can see how it takes the mainframe and sort of makes it work so hard that it burns itself out. And when you become the observer, the awareness grows even more. But you've got to be able to step out. And once you step out just one time, you'll see what it feels like. And no one can do that for you. It's hard to describe it. It's hard to do it. But if you can look at the way, I always say, think of something that just makes you, when you feel bad inside, like, you know, if you're arguing or you're having a hard day or you feel bad about yourself or you're calling yourself names, that was a big one for me. I used to call myself the worst names in the world. I didn't even realize I was doing it. And when I stopped doing it, I was absolutely amazed at how much I realized I used to do it. Because when you stop it, you're actually now observing it. So you might pick something like that and practice being an observer of one thing like that. Do I put myself down? Do I fall asleep really tired every night, thinking in my mind of all the things I didn't do today and all the things that happened? If you're thinking of those things, be able to sort of sit back and just be the observer of those things and just realize that it's okay to have a number of degrees. It's okay to enjoy the things that we have here in the third dimension or on this planet. It's okay to do that. But they do not make you who you are. And having them does not make you better. You're already fantastic. And most of us don't know that.
Yeah, that's true. I think of the judger a lot. I know that when I'm in a very ego-based place, I have a tendency to either judge myself or sometimes to judge others, you know. And the ego does this weird thing. It keeps us safe from feeling deeper emotions, you know, deeper emotions of presence and deeper emotions of love and deeper emotions of empathy, you know, because if we're in this place of judgment or we're in this place of critiquing all the time, then we don't have to be in that kind of, you know, slippery, seemingly unsafe place of vulnerability.
Yeah, that's correct. It's really funny because when I teach class, I always say there are 86,400 seconds in a day. We have, on average, 65,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, which only allows about 5 or 6 hours of sleep. Most people don't even sleep that well. But of the 65,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, about 45,000 of those are negative on average. And that's just training.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
just training. There's no need for that because we weren't born with that. The brain is a piece of equipment that will do what you tell it. So now we can say, is it okay for me to watch and see the kinds of things that I'm thinking about myself? Because the thing is that our life is based on our beliefs because we filter the way we see life through the beliefs that we have. So the things that we're sort of taught, these kind of things, you know, bad things happen in threes, is just so untrue. It's ridiculous. But people believe that. And so when they believe that, they're watching for it. And they filter life of the events that happen around them for that specific belief. And then when the third thing happens, they say, see, there it is, the third thing. While I don't subscribe to good or bad events any longer because I know that they don't really truly exist, I would say, well, there are either no bad things happening and you're just picking up, you know, sort of picking on things, or maybe there were many more things in the world of good and bad. Maybe a number of things bad happened, but you only saw three, because you're only going to see the things that you believe. And that's the amazing thing about it. And so beliefs are not truth. They're just beliefs. And we can change all beliefs, because our beliefs were actually taught to us. They were sort of a program that was loaded on for us.
Right, right. And I think so many of us go through our lives habitually, and sometimes we're encouraged by our work, our families, these sorts of things, to take on beliefs that don't really serve us. And then we go through life habitually and we just react to things. We act out roles and we don't really notice what it is we're feeling or what we believe underneath those roles that we're playing. And I think it's so important working with clients and that sort of thing to help them see the roles that they're playing, and that there's something that exists underneath that, that there's another way to be, as you say. You know, there's another belief system to have.
That's correct. I see a lot of people that, because they're in a particular role in a family, they feel that well, these are the things I'm supposed to be doing. And whether it's good for them or not, I speak to a lot of ladies, although I have a lot of men that come to my classes as well. I speak to a lot of ladies in their 40s and their 50s. And even their 60s. And one of the questions I ask is, when are you going to start taking care of yourself? Because the role of a mother or a woman is to take care of everyone else but her. And the issue with that is that we end up burned out and sick. And what good are we to anybody? We're not good to anyone. And we often take things from others that is, in fact, their responsibility, and we fix it for them. And there's, you know, that's a role. There's no need to be doing that. And if we let go of some of those things, we get lighter, we get healthier, and there's a better balance between other people and our family and ourselves. But that's just one of the roles. It happens in companies, it happens in relationships, it happens in friends, in groups of friends, it happens in organizations. It's, you know, we've got these roles that we think we're supposed to be playing. And it's so funny that when you step outside of that role, you'll get egged, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, people look at you like you're a weirdo. I wrote an article last year that if you're stressed out and burned out, you're in the norm, so to speak. It's not normal. It's just common, but you're in the norm. And if you're out there as a flower child, not really working all the time, and you're sort of planting your own garden and, you know, wearing hemp clothes, you're a flower child and a weirdo. And it's so funny how we look at being burned out, stressed out, and having to get material things as normal.
Normal.
when in fact, it makes us so sick, physically sick. It's just what we're doing isn't working, and you can ask anybody that, but now it's time to look at it and see why. Now it's time to dig deeper. Now it's time to be an observer. Because if you're looking at 65% of your thoughts are negative, anything you're thinking about yourself, you will now use these filters as you look at others, and you'll see the things that you don't like in yourself and other people. And, you know, in metaphysics, people often say we are each other's mirrors. And that is the truth. If you hate something in someone else, it's in you. There's something in that that is all about you, because there's not a single thing that we say or think about another human being that is truly about another human being. Every time we say something, even about someone else, we're really telling our own story. And that's important for people to realize. You're not talking about Susie or Mark or whoever you think you're talking about, and the things that you don't like about them, you're talking about yourself. And if you dig a little deeper, you'll see that those things are true. We never say anything that really is relating to somebody else. We're always talking about ourselves.
Yeah, it's that whole idea of the shadow, and if we disown that shadow piece, then we stay in the place of the judger or the inner critic, and we don't think it has anything to do with us because we've disowned it. We've distanced ourselves from that, but in reality, it always is about us. It's always a mirror for us, and I think that's what's so powerful about being in that observer place, is that then we can start to look at some of that shadow stuff without being judgmental about it, because for some people, the way they've been trained and raised, it's so difficult to look at that shadow material, because their default is just, I'm bad, I'm horrible, I'm not worth
worthy of anything. And so it's difficult to look to that shadow material. But if we stay in the place of the observer, then we really truly can say, wow, maybe some of that is in me, without judging, but being curious about how that came to be, or how why it is we need to distance ourselves from that. And then we don't have to act it out or see it in others.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we can use these things to help ourselves and help each other. I mean, that's really why we're here. We're all here to help each other. And when you do see something that you're angry about in someone else, or you don't like, or you're judging them, use that as a red flag to sit back and go, okay, wait a minute. I'm obviously talking about myself in some way. And, you know, you can find out why. You can wait to see why. But the most important thing to determine is, do I actually want to continue to feel this way or think this way? And no matter where it comes from, or it's all come from a long time ago. We'll just go ahead and get that out of the road right now. It's all come from when you were little. There's just no doubt. Some form or fashion, you were trained this way. So you'll know it's going to be there, even if you can't pinpoint the exact event or who did it. You don't need to blame anybody or anything. The fact is that you can look at it today and say, it makes me uncomfortable, it makes me feel unwell, it keeps me up at night, it makes me want to drink, it makes me want to eat candy, it makes me want to all these things, and I know that they're not good for me, so let me determine if I actually want to continue to do this or not. And if I don't, let me be open to seeing a different way. Let me try something different than what I'm doing, because as we know, doing the same thing does not get different results, and you have to be willing to do it different. So many people are tied to the fact that it can, it's only be this way, it's always been this way of it, but it wasn't that way when you were born, and you don't remember that, but you will remember that as you begin to sort of break free, as you begin to become the observer in this, and you can see that if you're trained to think 75% negative, these are your filters for life. You're going to consistently see things as doom and gloom, sort of worst case scenario, and they're not really like that. All possibilities for all events, for all things in the universe exist. The one that you see is the one you focus on, and the reason why you focus on it is because it's based in your beliefs, and your beliefs were taught to you. And if now you, as an adult, you're not responsible for the kinds of things that you were taught as a child, but you are responsible as an adult for changing it, for recognizing it, and for doing something different, if you don't want it. If you do want it, okay, that's fine. But if you don't, you don't have to live with it anymore. There's one of my favorite singers, you'll probably know this, is Melissa Etheridge. And she has a song from, not this past album, but the one before. And it says, whatever they painted on you, you can wash away tonight. And and that, it means just that. You don't have to live with this stuff anymore. You aren't doomed to whatever. A lot of people say, when I speak, I hear my mother or I hear my father. You don't have to, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it anymore, because you are already fantastic. And I know it's hard to believe, but you are amazing. And if you let go of feeling not amazing, the amazing you will come through. And it just takes time and patience, but what could be more worth your time than to become who you truly are again, to let it in. It's always in there. It's never gone from you. It's always there. So that's the thing that's really important.
Awesome. So how does this tie into the issue of the law of attraction and you know, being able to draw into your life the things that you truly want? Once you do make this realization, you do put this piece together and you say, I don't want to carry all this baggage. I don't want to project onto other people. I want to be clear about who I am, and I want to connect with these more positive energies. How do you manifest that? How do you do that in the world?
Well, it's really interesting, because we're taught opposites attract, but that's in fact not really true. And the truth is that like energy attracts like energy, and that's the basis of the law of attraction. If we look at there's a small it's a very important piece of the brain, but there's a small piece of the brain at the base of the brain called the reticular activating system. If you liked biology, you might remember this, but it's sort of like the, for all the things that we see, for these, you know, 2 to 10 billion pieces of information that we actually take in through our eyes and our ears and our sensory system throughout the day, your reticular activating system is filtering for you, because there's no way for you to actually process all of that information. And it filters for you based on, again, based on your beliefs. Now, if what you believe is the filters that you use for life, then that's the energy that you're putting out there. And then that's what comes back to you, because if you think of sort of a wall of people standing, and you're standing on the other side looking at them, and you say, I'd like somebody with red to step forward, and only one person's wearing red, and that person steps forward, you've just made a match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way things that are out there that you're sending energy out to then come back to you. It leaves its space, and it comes back to you. And you then focus on those things. So if you're focusing on, it always rains on the day that I want to have a picnic. Yeah, it probably does. And, you know, somehow that energy matches. It's hard for people to remember that we are just cellular energy. We're electrical energy. And if you see it in other things like atoms, or if you've ever seen things in microscopes where they just vibrate, we constantly vibrate with a frequency of energy. And because of that, there are other things out there on our planet and in the universe that also have different frequencies of energy. And those frequencies match, and they attract each other. And that's how the law of attraction becomes really our life. We bring to our life what we want. We are the creators of our life. And I know that that's sometimes difficult for people to understand as well. But you do get what you think you're going to get, because that's the energy you're looking at. Take, for instance, people who are thinking about buying, I'll just use a Volkswagen. If you think about buying a Volkswagen, all of a sudden you start seeing them all over the road. Mm-hmm. Is that because they weren't there before, or because now everyone and their sister has one? No, it's because you're now aware of it, and that energy of the Volkswagen matches your energy that you're putting out there, and you match up and you find it. And that's how your beliefs drive you to find what you want to have. So you can use this with fears, you can use it with jobs, you can use it. I mean, the power of visualization has been proven in science over and over and over. If we visualize what we want, we're sending that energy out there so that what we want, that same energetic frequency, can find us. And just as you say, in a wall of people, could the person with red please step forward? Of all the sea of people that are standing there, the one person with red steps forward, and you just met your match. And that's the easiest way I can explain the law of attraction. They are based on our beliefs, because the beliefs are the energy that we put out there. And it's amazing when people say, you know, I just keep meeting the wrong guy, or I just keep meeting the wrong girl. It just never works out. Right. That's correct, because those are your expectations. And a lot of people don't realize that they've got this underlying mantra humming, I'm afraid I'm not good enough, which means you don't think you deserve someone is the person that you truly do want, the person that really does nurture your soul and nurture you. And you do end up a lot of times with the same types of relationships over and over. I know I did, over and over throughout the years. Same thing. It's just absolutely amazing. And if it's someone that works out the first year, you know, I always say everyone can be great for a year. After that, the stuff starts to hit the fan, and you begin to see, oh, this is the same thing. I'm in the same thing, and my role was a victim role. They're not nice enough to me, and I'm so nice, and I'm so helpful. But okay, there must have been something in our egos that were pulling us together from that standpoint. There was sort of pieces of the puzzle were fitting together. Someone needed someone to bully, and I apparently was a good victim, and we matched from that standpoint. When I stopped looking at my life like that, then I no longer met people that met that. And it doesn't mean that those people are good or bad or anything. It just means it was a mismatch in energy, and we can change that.
That's why I think this imagination piece is so important. I know for myself around, law of attraction stuff, around receiving, you really have to start to go into a territory where you might not believe you belong, but you allow yourself to take that space up anyway. You allow yourself to go there in your imagination. And that's the only way you're really able to heal some of those wounds, is to say, well, yeah, I am good enough to do this, and I do deserve this, and to play there, you know, to start imagining those things. Because if you reinforce the belief system you've been given, even if you don't feel like you belong there, you'll recreate the same pattern that you want to get rid of or move through.
Yeah, that's correct. I think it really is important to start somewhere. I always say in my classes and my workshops, just start somewhere. Start somewhere, even if it feels a little bit uncomfortable, start somewhere.
Yeah.
Because if you know you're doing something good for yourself, you do that. The brain helps us in other ways because the brain will build neural bridges, neural nets around the things based on our beliefs that will help reinforce the things we want. So, for instance, I used to be afraid of spiders. And every time I saw one, man, they saw the business end of my shoe in about 3 seconds. I'd say, you know, count down, 3, 2, you know. And I didn't even say I'm sorry back then. You know, now I take them outside or I let them, you know, it's just a whole different thing. But I had this somehow, again, because we really do demonize spiders, which is amazing because they're fantastic. They're absolutely magical. But we do demonize. We're made to be afraid of them. And you look at how small they are and how big you are, these fears are completely out of, they're so irrational and out of proportion, they really, it's amazing that they're not more obvious to us, that there's just a total mismatch in the belief that comes from a fear and actual reality. But the thing that the brain does is that it builds this neural net for us, these neural bridges about the things that we believe, and they start making connections. So I had the connection spider fear, and it was spider fear kill, spider fear kill. And that was my sort of my simple bridge that I built about spiders. And I know people have had, pardon me?
Like your go-to, like your immediate go-to.
Yeah, that's right. That's your, like your automatic response, right? Yeah. I know people that have actually had car accidents because there's a spider in their car. And while they're driving, it's walking towards them, and they actually have had accidents from it. And, you know, that's the level of fear that, again, is out of proportion. Now, here's the great thing. When I chose to learn about spiders, because I came to a point where I didn't want to kill anything anymore, and I just couldn't justify killing this spider. It just didn't seem to work for me any longer. And I thought, so I read about them, and I watched them, and I became fascinated by them, and I became a huge fan of them. And as I'm doing that, what's happening is that the neural net that I built all those years ago of spider fear kill is now dissolving. That neural net is dissolving. This is the beauty of the human body and the intelligence of it. It's just way beyond the human mind. It's just fantastic. And the bridge for these are some of the coolest things on the planet. How magical that bridge is building. So now I think spider magical save it. Spider magical save it. And now that's the neural net that I built around that. And we can do this with absolutely everything. It may take a little more time with bigger fears, like I know a lot of people have fears of flying or claustrophobia. It might take some time with that. It might take a little bit extra work, but it can be done, and it is worth it. We are taught to be afraid, but there truly is no reason for that. We do have a system already built in for us to help us in the event that we are threatened with bodily harm and death. That's our adrenal system that's built in our fight, flight, freeze mode, but that's already there. So we don't need to be afraid of little things in life because we actually fear quite a bit. And that's how that all works. And then that becomes, again, part of the law of attraction. If you want it to be different, it certainly will be because that's the energy now that you're putting out. You're putting out a different kind of energy. And when you do that, you will get a different experience. There's no doubt.
Yeah, you're putting out an energy of curiosity and staying in a place that may feel uncomfortable but will help you grow, and it does. It does when you start to tell stories differently, for sure, about who you are and who you can be.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because any time you start something new, it feels uncomfortable, but it easily and quickly, for a lot of things, becomes now your norm. That's that's now who you are. That's now how you think. When I was a little kid, I didn't like broccoli. Now I can't get enough of it. You know, how does that happen? Now it's normal. I used to eat meat. I don't eat meat anymore. Now that's my normal. That's normal for me. And so anything can, it may be a little uncomfortable in the beginning. It's like when you go to a class the first time. If you're taking like a yoga class or Pilates, right? You're new and you don't really know how to do it, but your old hat, you're telling other people how to do it, and, you know, it does all become comfortable. So if we can be okay with being a little bit uncomfortable and getting out of our old system that we know isn't working for us and being willing to take a step forward, you won't fall, you will fly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I promise you that. I promise you that. You will not fall. You will fly. When you do things that work in your favor, that actually feel good to you, that actually support you, that actually are loving and compassionate and understanding and kind to yourself and to others, you will not fall. You will fly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think that it's also about getting people around you who are also going to reinforce these positive energies. You know, I mean, when you're talking about right alignment and finding right alignment in your life, that's about allowing yourself to distance yourself from people who are telling stories that aren't your belief system, aren't your value system, aren't in line with where you want to grow toward, you know.
Yes, that's correct. And you don't even have to argue these points with people anymore. You don't even have, there's no right or wrong. You don't even have to argue. Now you can just listen and not take it on. Because the thing that we have been taught to do with the negativity is to take things personally. And as I said at the very beginning, they're not. There's nothing anyone says about you that is about you. It's always about them, just the same way your things are about you. So you can just sit and listen. And as they try to point things out in you, you can just think to yourself. You don't have to tell them. You can just think to yourself, I'm listening to a story about you. I'm patient and I'm happy to just listen. But you don't have to take it on. And when you stop taking it on, there's a major amount of freedom there. And again, because there's no blame, you don't have to point fingers back because that in itself is ego. You can just leave it and you can just now listen to the storyteller. That's really what most of us are. We're just storytellers, and you can just listen to the story about how great I am or how crappy I am or how afraid I am. We can just listen to these stories and not take them on. But not taking things personally that's also a red flag that people can use, and they can practice not taking things personally. And that's another way. Just start anyway, and those things will help bring you back into alignment to something that's a more peaceful existence, and you're living more reality, because most of our life is lived in our heads. We're not really living. We're sort of projecting our belief system out there. And, you know, I said to somebody the other day, we get dressed up and we pretend people are looking at us, or we pretend it makes us better. You know, we're in this business, this game of pretending. And, in fact, we pretend so much we barely live life from a reality standpoint, and we're not aware of that because everyone else is doing it, basically, and so it's well-supported. The old system is well-supported. You've got to step out. There's so many – it's such a movement that's going on today where people are – you look at Monsanto and the GMOs, and you're looking at organic foods versus all these other things. You look at the farmers markets coming up. You're looking at the beautiful radio shows that you have and the other group that you have, the Intuitive Light Community Radio Show. And you're looking at Viva Glam, who is a magazine. It's, you know, Katerina Vanderham put together a magazine that isn't like any other fashion or glamour magazine. It carries an energy with it that is just absolutely beautiful, and you can feel it when you're reading it. So these are the kinds of things, these movements, all these different groups, the different types of light churches that are out there, and different things where people are sort of stepping out and doing something different because it's obvious that the way we've been doing things aren't working for us. We're destroying ourselves and we're destroying the planet. So it's hard to imagine that it's still hidden in front of so many, but it's just about, you know, each one of us will wake up at different times or see things at different times. And, you know, it's all divine. Everything's already okay. So there's, you know, no one around you has to see things the way you see them. So that's why I say you can be involved with other people. You don't have to argue a point anymore. There's nothing to argue for or against. You can just, you know, you can just listen now.
I would say that was an amazing piece, because I used to be a big arguer. I would get very, very invested in arguing my side of things. And it was just the way I grew up. I mean, it was just, you know, habitual. And it is such a relief in my life now to go, oh, okay, that's all you got to say. Oh, really?
It really is. You can really just let other people tell their story and just honor it.
Just let them roll.
Let them roll. And it's such an easy life. And you can just be happy. And you can love them. You love them even more because you're actually not arguing. That's what you just love. And you don't feel sorry for them. Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They don't know. You don't really even think that. You just think, okay. You know, let it be. You know, the Beatles, let it be.
And you also know, I mean, when you mirror people, you know, clearly they'll tell their story for a certain amount of time and then they won't tell it anymore because they got mirrored.
Yeah, right.
Sit there and go, really? Oh, okay. You know, then eventually they'll go, well, I don't know what I think of that anymore, you know, because they got those needs met, you know, that energy of someone taking it in and hearing that it on their terms, you know, whereas if you create all this combative energy around being right, then they'll stand, you know, more strongly in their own belief system, and it creates more polarization in the world. So
it really does. You can't, you know, if one person starts an argument with somebody else and the other person doesn't, I'll say, bite the line, you know, doesn't take it, and they just sit there and listen. And
yep.
Where's it? It's not an argument anymore. It can't be. It takes two people to argue. But the minute somebody argues back, or they take something personally, and they think they have to defend, which was me a lot. I did a lot of defending and always, you know, I'm not, you know, I never did that. All these different things. When that's the business that's going on, you're just throwing low-level energy, negative energy after negative energy, and it can go on for hours or days. And this is how people hold grudges, and you know, these things are just such a waste of our time and our energy. But this is what we're taught, you know. And if your thinking system is based in 65-75% negativity, these are the filters that you use, but you no longer have to use them as your filters if you don't want to. That's the important piece of information about the law of attraction and the reticular activating system and the neural nets that your brain, that your own body and your brain will help you with these things when you choose to do them for yourself. There's loads of assistance. They say that, you know, the help is always there when you want it. It's always going to be there for you. And a lot of the help is built in, which is, you know,
absolutely,
just the intelligence. Just the intelligence of the universe showing up, which is fun. It's fun to watch.
Absolutely. I think, too, you know, when you don't create this polarization of energy around right or wrong or good or bad or, you know, black and white and all of this sort of thing, there's more creative energy left over to do other things with, you know, in your body and in your experiencing. There's more creative energy that propels itself and is co-creative as opposed to stuck in a dead heat, you know. So it's a different kind of way of using energy.
Yeah, there's no doubt that when we get more peaceful and we stop arguing or we stop saying bad things about ourselves or we stop trying to beat ourselves up to try to look fantastic and the shopping that goes on, or, you know, again, nothing against shopping, but we think we have to do it in order to be okay. When you actually just say, you know what, I'm not going to do that this time. I'm actually going to just relax before I go out. I'm just going to take my own time. I'm going to just listen tonight when people say things. It actually becomes so peaceful. But now you have energy that your body's been burning up, arguing or taking things personally or feeling bad, that you can do with what you, now you can do other things with it. People have enough energy to go to the gym and not add to your exhaustion from it, but really feel energized and vital from it. And you actually want better foods. You choose better foods. You're choosing foods that truly nourish you rather than just give you a quick little shot of energy that you crash from an hour later. And this whole dynamic changes because the entire energetic frequency is changing. And I think that's a key piece that you mentioned, Jenny. I think it is really key that you do have other energy that you can use for other things. There's so much more time and energy, even in your own head. You know, you get so busy. I'm so piled down. My head's going all the time. I just think that I couldn't add another thing to it. But when I slow down and I clear those things out and I stop arguing with myself and other people and taking things personally and feeling bad and trying to outdo or overdo, when I actually take a breath, there's lots of space now. And I actually do have time for things I never thought or imagined I'd have time for. And it's refreshing. It's refreshing. It really is. And you giggle. You laugh. You're like, oh, my gosh, I just couldn't imagine. It's just, I thought it had to be this way, but it doesn't.
I've noticed it with, like, things I'll plan for, you know, like if I have something that I have to do that's on the horizon that I feel really, really stressed out about, and I'm putting a lot of energy into getting it done. Sometimes if I just flip this little switch and I go, oh, well, what could I do toward preparing to do that piece? I'll find out that I already have it, like, halfway done, you know, I mean, just
shifting the energy to a positive question can create more energy and can create solutions, you know. And then I'll start going, well, I could do this, and then I could do this, and well, oh, that's really all I needed to know. But if I put the energy in this other basket where I'm like, well, I don't have this done, and I don't, you know, I've got this big thing to do, it's really not usually that big.
It never is.
Amazing.
That's where the mountain out of the molehill, you know, we make a mountain out of the molehill. And, you know, once in a while I end up doing that too. And I think, you know, I know this is an old pattern of thinking. I know it doesn't have to be like this. And these are the things that even when you become aware of these things, sometimes we slip back into our old patterns, but then you can just come back to it and go, oh, that's correct. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do that with that. And then be free to actually do it. Because all of the other thinking keeps you from doing what you truly want to do. And I've experienced that. I certainly understand what you're saying about that. I think a lot of us end up doing that.
Yeah. So it's, I guess it's just this little shifting thing. I'm really intrigued with this idea of this little shift that you can do to shift the energy to the positive or to the proactive as opposed to, and I think that it's a choice to a certain extent. You know, I think that sometimes we wake up grumpy, sometimes we feel overwhelmed, but we can say, okay, I'm going to set that aside, and if I didn't feel that way, what's there? What is there that needs done, or what is there that needs responded to, or what's there that's positive that's going on? And it's just this little shift, but it's so huge. I mean, it's so monumental. It's just about remembering to do it, I think.
It is. We are so powerful, and we're not taught that either, really. We're just so powerful to be able to do that. And when people say to me, you know, I'll ask them, you know, is there another way? There isn't, you know, and I think okay, let's dig a little deeper. I know deep down you know there is, but you're holding on to an old system of thinking, and I would ask you why. Why are you holding on to it? It's not helping you. It's paralyzing you. It's keeping you from what you truly want. Why do you continue to hold on to it? You know, really it's just, it's training. It's, you know, well, what else is there if I don't hold on to this? And we have to be willing to see and break free from that, and that's not easy for people. But if you will start, like I say, just start anywhere. Start with little things. That make you feel funny or make you feel uncomfortable or make you break out into a sweat or whatever it is. A lot of people say, you know, I'm so afraid I'm going to get sick. I don't want to get sick. I don't, you know, this when these big viruses come around in the winter. And then half the people are sick with viruses. But you've got to remember when you're saying, I don't want to be sick, really you're fearing being sick. And so that's the energy that you're putting out there. And if you can realize this and then turn that into trust and just say, you know what? I'm not going to get sick this year. I decided. You'd be amazed.
Yeah.
How great that works. I mean, it's just amazing. It just that switch changes. That's an energetic shift, and it seems small, but again, you know, it's like they say, you can take a little bit of light into a dark room and light up the whole room. It just takes a little bit, and you just start somewhere for yourself, so that you can help yourself, because you deserve it. You don't deserve anything but a peaceful, wonderful, joyful, happy, healthy life. You just don't deserve anything less than that. And most of us don't know that, and so most of us don't have that. But we deserve it, and you can get that just by doing that. So start anywhere. If you notice that someone walks in the door, every time somebody walks in the door of your office or in a restaurant, you look them up and down and you start talking about them. Oh, look what she wore. Look what he wore. Oh, my God, can you believe that? Oh, he's this, she's that. You know, if this is what you're doing, notice it. And now be willing to say, you know what, I actually am going to practice not doing that.
Yeah.
The work is in the business of the ego. Because it's hard work. It's really hard work. And when we say, you know, this is the work, if you ever saw Eat, Pray, Love, where Richard takes her out for a thumbs up when she's in India, and he says, you know, you just have to do the work, groceries. You just have to do the work. It's just really important to understand that the only work you have to do is to stop doing things that don't work for you. Stop doing things that don't feel good to you, that don't sound good to you, that don't feel right, that make you unwell, that make you tired, that make you stressed out, that make you angry. Just notice them and practice not doing them. And even if you don't know what to replace it with just yet, if you stop doing it, you'll be one step closer. And that's a little bit like what you were talking about, just shifting. I've got this huge project in my head. I've made a mountain out of a molehill. And in fact, it's really not that big of a deal. You don't have to change everything in your life. It's when, like when people, I used to work with people on diets. And when I would write their meal plan for them, I always built in their favorite junk foods. People think that when I am going to, it's, and in fact, I never say go on a diet because our diet is what we eat, not what we don't eat. If we plan our food, if we plan the diet, the food that we're going to eat, and we plan it in a way that makes us feel good about ourselves but still gives us what we think we need to have, eventually we switch over and we don't need as much of the old stuff any longer. And it's the same way with looking at your life and the law of attraction and the beliefs that you have. If you don't, if they're not working for you, and you make the choice, because everything is a choice. There are, as an adult, when we become aware, we have choices. You always have a choice. And if you choose not to do it that way anymore, even if you don't know which way to go yet, just stop doing what doesn't work for you. And you'll figure that in itself will be powerful enough, and you'll find other things. Because, as you said, it opens up space for many other things come through, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. The universe is so much more available to things than we are in our own egos, because the ego is a limited thinker, and it never thinks things that are true or real. So you're not going to get the whole story. You're not going to get all things that are available. But when you stop following that, then all of the things that are available will come to you based on your true interests, not on the interests of your ego, not on the training of your false self.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we've just got a very few minutes. I've so enjoyed talking to you. We really took this and ran with it, and I think gave people a lot to think about and to put into practice and all of that. I want to make sure people know where to get a hold of you for your wonderful workshops that you do, and now would be the time to share that, Bo.
I appreciate that. You can always go to my website, which is all lowercase letters, Bo L. Arnold. It's B-O-L-A-R-N-O-L-D. You can also find me on Facebook at Bo L. Arnold. You'll find it in there. There aren't that many of us. And I tweet all the time, and all that information is listed there as well. It's at Bo Arnold 1. So there are many different ways to get a hold of me in that way. So, and you can go to vivaglammagazine.com. To read the articles. Those are posted every week. That magazine is becoming print this summer, so that's exciting as well. I know Katerina has really been working on that, so we've been doing some things for that as well, and that's an exciting turn. She's done a really great job with the magazine, and there are a lot of great articles in there. The writers are fantastic. The columnists are good, so check that out as well if you get a chance. But I appreciate and am so grateful again for the time to always spend chatting with you. I love the background and the training and the what you bring to these conversations when you have any of your guests on, and I appreciate the same with me. So thanks so much, Jenny, for having me tonight. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks for your wisdom and your expertise, and we'll have you on again, and have a great evening.
Oh, thank you very much. I look forward to it. See you soon.
Okay. Take good care, Bo.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
That was Bo Arnold talking all about love and moving beyond the ego and the wonderful book that she's writing, Love is All There Is. So tune in for more of her and her wonderful words and work. I'm going to send you out with a wonderful song by Darla Williams called The Blessings, which is all about paying attention to synchronicity in our life. Here you go. Check out Inner Voice Intuitive next week when Eric Dunn will be sharing his amazing Illuminati Tarot. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic, notice magic. That's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye now.